It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
All right, welcome. Man, it's the week of Valentine's. Are you guys ready? Are you like already planned? You got the reservations? If you're a man, please, please make your reservations. It may even be too late, but, you know, don't be that guy. Or I should say, if you're in charge of making the reservations, you know, now's a good time to do it. For those who have gotten my book, I want to thank you so much. I've gotten several great remarks, comments, feedback, and I want to thank those who have gotten my free book. You can get it at dominatingyourmind.com, dominatingyourmind.com. The book's available for a limited time there for free, and just pay some shipping. Anyway, so I wanted a quick shout out to those people, and I hopefully got your names correct. Sangram, thank you so much. Adam, thank you so much. And Michelle, thank you so much, you guys, for getting the book. And I hope you enjoy it. And anyway, all right, let's get into it. The quote of the day: time and health are two precious assets that we don't recognize and appreciate until they have been depleted. By Dennis Waitley. Time and health are two precious assets that we don't recognize and appreciate until they have been depleted. Man, that is so true. Interestingly enough, I'm being joined today by Twala Braze. Twala Braze is an RN, is president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom, and is a certified public health nurse. She provides commentary for One of a Kind Health Freedom Minute, provides testimony at the state legislation, meets with members of Congress, and speaks around the country. And she's been interviewed on CNN, Fox News, NBC, Today Show, among others. And her quotes appear in publications of the Associated Press, the Wall Street Journal, and the Washington Post, as well as others. And we're going to be talking about her latest book, which I think a lot of us can appreciate. The book is Big Brother in the Exam Room, The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records. Twala Braze, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thanks so much. I'm really glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you here. And, you know, it's interesting that that you wrote this book. I'm excited to find out about you. So, why don't you start us off? Why don't you tell us a little bit about how about your background, how you went from, you know, RN to health advocate?
So yes, I am the president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. My working history is in the emergency room, pediatric emergency room, and as well as school nursing, and then discovered that the Clintons wanted to take our health freedom away using managed care. A lot of people don't understand that, but they wanted the HMO version of healthcare for all. And so started this organization with another individual, and so I'm the co-founder, and discovered very, very early in the journey that the critical importance of privacy for protecting freedom. And so this book, of course, is about Big Brother in the Exam Room and how the electronic health record has been pushed into the exam room by Congress in the very first year of the Obama presidency, but was pushed before that through HIPAA, which a lot of people think is a privacy rule, but is actually a no privacy rule. All of that to give outsiders access to our information to control our doctors.
Yeah.
That's what's being done.
And you know what? And here's something that a lot of people do not realize The reality is this, the government, meaning that's politicians, will give something a name, but when you read the details or see the documentation, it's the reverse of that. So, and I love what you brought up about the HIPAA, the health privacy protection something. Go ahead.
It's the health. It's the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, and it had section in there called Administrative Simplification. And so everybody knows it as HIPAA, and they think that the P is privacy, but it has nothing to do with privacy. And the requirement that the law permitted all of our data to be digitized. And so Congress said in that bill in 1996 that it would write a privacy law, or otherwise the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services had to issue a rule to protect privacy. And of course, Congress did not pass a privacy law, and they put the onus onto the department, so they didn't have to be blamed for taking our privacy away, although they certainly did. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services wrote the HIPAA rule, and they talk about it as though it's about privacy when it does the exact opposite. It opens up your medical records. We actually have a number from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services from a rule that they issued in 2010 that says that 2.2 million entities can have access to your medical records without your consent because of HIPAA, and that's 700,000 health plans, doctors, hospitals, pharmacists, those sorts of things. Those are called covered entities. But then there's the 1.5 million business associates, who are all these corporations who will work for the health plans and the hospitals, et cetera, and analyze your data and use it for all sorts of purposes that have nothing whatsoever to do with actually taking care of you.
Yeah, that's...
All without your consent.
All without your consent.
HIPAA doesn't require consent. No.
Matter of fact...
Talk about the government. Because in that 2.2 million is not included the government, but HIPAA allows the government for 12 national priority purposes to access your information without your consent if your doctors, hospitals, and health plans provide it to them. So it's called the permissive rule. Those who hold your data are permitted to share it without your consent. They don't have to, but they do and they are.
Yeah, and I think what happens here is, especially in your typical doctor's visit, you get this deluge of documentation, right? I mean, you fill out this form for the health and for your health, and then there's an insurance form, and then finally you get to the HIPAA. By the time the patient is done, they filled out, anywhere from, 5 or 6 pages to maybe a dozen pages. And you almost have to be a lawyer to read it and understand it. It's crazy.
Well, it is all about collecting your information and profiling you. And I think a lot of people don't understand that, because when the electronic health record, which is what the book is about, although it has an entire section on HIPAA, so you can really understand what HIPAA is. But when the electronic health record was mandated in 2009, that was the law, just a month after the president was inaugurated. And then it was mandated to be in place and being used by January 1st, 2014. And so that electronic health record now, because of HIPAA, all of that data is accessible at a digital level. That electronic health record is in almost every exam room, almost every hospital room, and it's collecting all of this information and essentially creating profiles of the patients and the doctors, and able to control what the doctor does through payment. So the doctor's every move is tracked, and the patient's every decision is tracked, And then the health plans and the government can choose or not choose to pay the doctors according to the data that's in that record. And I guess, one of the things to just understand as a reason to buy the book, or the reason that I wrote the book rather, is I wanted people to understand that HIPAA doesn't protect privacy, and it does the exact opposite. And I also wanted them to understand that the electronic health record is not, it's not what you think it is. It is a surveillance system. It is a command and control system. It was imposed with the idea that it was the foundation of the Affordable Care Act. It was the foundation, considered the foundation for a government-run healthcare system. Hillary Clinton had it in her plan as well. And as a matter of fact, in her plan back in, 1993, 1994, called Hillary Care, or the National Health Security Act. I'm sorry, it's not the National, it's the just Health Security Act. The part of her plan that actually made it into law was HIPAA. So she understood that to create a national healthcare system, you needed to be able to control the doctors, and the way to control them was have access to all of this information. And then you could tell them how to practice or withhold money if they don't practice correctly. And today that's called pay for performance or pay for value. We call it pay for compliance. And it's all being run through the electronic health record. But the health record is not only a danger to patients being able to be treated the way the patient should be treated, it's also a safety issue. Patients have actually died because of the electronic health record.
Talk about this. All right. So, and I know you're about to, but it just blows me away. So how did electronic health record kill somebody? Talk about this.
So the first thing to understand about the electronic health record is that it is not made for taking care of patients. Its purpose is to collect information and to report information and for billing and for profiling. It's all about data. And so it does not follow the workflow of a doctor and a nurse. The natural flow of the way a patient is taken care of is not how the electronic health record is set up. Now, there used to be electronic health records before the mandate that were set up the way the doctor needed it to be set up to take care of the patient. But that's not the record that was mandated. And so because it doesn't do that, there is information that's lost. There's information that can't be found. There are menus that have like 250 items on them, and the doctor, in the busyness of it all, has to try and sort through all of those things to come up with the right order. So I have a story in the book, for example, of a 16-year-old that the pharmacist or the nurse or whoever it was who put in that order, they just clicked at the wrong time in the wrong space. And so this 16-year-old got 38.5 sulfa tablets and almost died, because the other thing that the electronic health record does is it somehow makes people think that because it's so clearly in black and white, that whatever's in there is the truth. And it's not. Oftentimes, I have another story in there about some nurse or doctor reading back to a patient everything about who they are. And this patient happened to be a physician and said, that's not me. That's not my father that you have stored. That's, none of that is about me. Those are not my diagnoses. Those are not my medications. And so you have inaccurate information that gets put into records, and on the basis of that information, medical decisions are made. So there's all sorts of errors. And the FDA has admitted back in 2010, I think it was, that at that point, what they knew for sure was that 6 people had died and 40-some people had been injured. But it's well beyond that. The whole mechanism of the electronic health record is not made for patient care. It's not made to help the doctor. I had one surgeon tell me that he's given up trying to find the nurse's notes, which were always a critical piece because the nurse would find out all this information, the doctor would just read all this information, and they would know a quick overview of the patient. But he's given up because there's too many screens to look through. There's too many alerts going off on the screen. He can't find it. He can't find the nurse's notes. So he's like, I'm done. And the other thing that people don't understand is a doctor might have to know if they're in different hospitals, they might have to know 6 or 8 different electronic health record systems. And so they may not know how to use one. And so it all becomes very, very difficult. There's a lot of copying and pasting into the electronic health record. And so I have a lot of quotes from doctors. We're essentially they're trying to find the one thing that matters in the mess of words that have just been copied and pasted and copied and pasted and copied and pasted. And it used to be there was just, you know, this new little addition of data that was at the top and they could just flip through these pages and go, yep, right? But now they can't. They're trying to find the meat within the meaningless information that's been copied and pasted into the record. So things can be missed.
Sure. Well, okay. So I guess my question is, as a consumer, what can we do about any of this? I mean, it sounds like, first of all, we need to find out what's in our record to make sure it's correct. But other than that, what can we do?
So there are several things. So one, if you get the book, there's a whole section that's called Steps Back to Privacy, Freedom, and Safety. And there's a list for Congress, a list for state legislators, a list for doctors and other clinicians, and a list for patients and citizens. And you can just pick and choose. Just start knowing how to protect yourself in the exam room. Don't fill out the questionnaires. Never sign a pad where you have no idea what you're signing to. It doesn't matter what they tell you you're signing. You know, sign a piece of paper and hand it back to them. Yes, know what's in your medical record. Also get your state legislators to pass a real law that protects your privacy. That's one thing about HIPAA that's good, is that it says if there's a stronger state law that actually requires your consent before it's shared with these 1.5 million folks and before it's shared with those who want to control your doctor, that kind of state law would stick. That's what would have to be followed, not HIPAA. And so state laws should be implemented in every state to actually bring back privacy and control over what happens in the exam room and put the doctors and the patients back in the driver's seat. In addition to that, and I would say you can buy the book at bigbrotherinthexamroom.com, or online wherever books are sold. But in addition to that, today, people are listening to this today, right? So right. Go to cchfreedom.org. cchfreedom.org, and right under the Health Freedom Minute, which is our radio program, is a link to something that says CCHF, that's our organization. CCHF urges Americans to tell feds that HIPAA hurts patients. And there is the federal government has requested information, and they want to know about what people think about HIPAA. And, you know, your listeners should say something that you just click on that link that we have in there, put in like 3 sentences and say, I understand that HIPAA hurts me because it doesn't give me control over my medical information and lets it be shared hither and yon without my consent. And it lets outsiders control my doctors and it took away my privacy rights. That's all.
Okay. So
say,
here I am.
You know?
Hold on a second. I am at cchfreedom.org. And where do I go for, is it petitions?
Nope, just go straight down the left side. And the very first thing under the Health Freedom Minute, our radio program, first thing under there is CC, it's a yellow, yellow sun.
CCHF urges Americans to tell the feds. Here it is.
Okay,
so we're going to put.
So just click on
I'm going to put this in the show notes.
Okay.
So,
and then there's a link in there that says request for information on modifying HIPAA rules. You just click on that and then give your 2 cents, your one sentence, or I hate HIPAA, or HIPAA doesn't protect my privacy and I just figured it out. Change that. Modify HIPAA to bring us back patient consent rights. You know, something as simple as that. Just change HIPAA to bring us back our right of consent and our right to privacy. And then click it in. So once you click on that one, there's a button on there that says comment now. It's at regulations.gov.
Yep,
and there's
I see
just
it
a
now.
Simple
comment
button
now.
That says comment now. And just all you have to do is write in that one little sentence. Give me back my privacy. You can write a long thing. You can write a short thing. But what you really have to tell them is we figured it out. There's no privacy in HIPAA. And our doctors and we as patients are threatened by all these outsiders having control of our data and telling their doctors how to practice. So, you know, modify HIPAA to bring us back our privacy. And the deadline is 11:59 tonight, so basically midnight.
All right, so everybody.
Now is the time.
So, yeah, this is super important to not only our privacy, but it sounds to me that even besides the privacy issue, that there is an actual medical health issue that is at play here. Because HIPAA, from your information, HIPAA is controlling what doctors can do, right? And how they
We say he who holds the data makes the rules. So the health plans and the government looking at the data can say to the doctors, you aren't practicing medicine the way we want you to practice medicine, so we're going to pay you less, or we're not going to pay you at all, or we're going to give you a black mark in your performance scores, or we're going to withhold more money and see whether you comply better next time. And so that's he who holds the data makes the rules, and HIPAA allows these outsiders to hold the data and make the rules.
Let me ask you this. So who benefits from HIPAA? The insurance industry?
The insurance industry, who gets all of our data and can use it as they wish. The government, who can require everybody who holds their data to send it to them. And then there's the health data industry. The health data industry, the last statistic I heard was that it's a $7 billion industry and growing. As a result of the mandate to use electronic health records, there are 3 new billionaires in this company. That's a statistic I have in the book. One of them is Epic's CEO in Verona, Wisconsin. So, you know, everybody had to buy their product. No matter how bad it was, no matter that it didn't work for the patient, no matter that it allows patients and doctors to be profiled, which is the antithesis of medical ethics, all of this data sharing, that, you know, the exam room becomes a surveillance, a point of surveillance and data collection rather than just, you know, caring for the patient. And even the caring for the patient is compromised because of what the outsiders decide to do with the data. So there's all sorts of folks that profit, but it's not the patient and the doctor. They're the ones that are being used in this system of profits. And, you know, one of the other ways that health plans can profit is simply withholding money, using your data to come up with reasons for rationing your care. Right?
Yeah.
As an adult, you choose not to get vaccinated, and now you're sick. Well, you know, We might have to dock your doctor for not making sure that you were vaccinated and for not pressuring you into being vaccinated. And that's actually true. So-called quality metrics in the exam room include a certain percent of children being vaccinated and a certain percent of adults. And if they don't reach those metrics, they can lose money. And that's why people are being pressured in the exam room. I have other examples in the book of how that pressure is being applied and where those compliance requirements are.
Yeah. So I tried to fill out the comment thing, and it says that I'm leaving my comment field blank, which I'm not, and so therefore it's not accepting my comment, which is really weird.
Did you put in your name?
Yep, I put my name, my zip code, my email. I've added a paragraph of content, but it's saying that I've left it blank somehow. It is really
That's
weird.
A little odd. You might have to use a different browser.
That's probably true.
It says here at the top, certain browser plugins or extensions such as Grammarly may interfere with submitting comments on the comment form. If you have issues, please disable plugins, refresh the page, and try resubmitting. If you need additional assistance, contact the help desk. And it has a number.
Yeah. All right. So I will come back to that. So this is very intriguing. This is very interesting. And you know what? Let's see.
And for all of you who might be going there and seeing that it says that this is a request for information on modifying HIPAA rules to improve coordinated care, just beware of definitions. They actually have no definition for coordinated care. They have no definition for a value-based healthcare, which is another reason that they're doing this. But all of it means that somebody outside can decide how to coordinate your care, how to manage your care, and how to decide what is value and what isn't and what will and will not be paid for according to those definitions. And in fact, care coordination can sometimes mean that a doctor won't even be in charge of your care. The doctor may put treatment protocols into a computer, and then, you know, a physician assistant or a nurse practitioner will be the one in charge of your care, but you won't actually be able to see a doctor. So this is how data can be used to take away, you know, a patient's right to even see a doctor to get the care that they want and need. So just be aware of these euphemisms. Just like HIPAA, it's not a privacy rule, right? It's an anti-privacy rule. And coordinating care doesn't necessarily mean what you think it means. It might mean somebody you don't want coordinating care and telling your doctor what to do.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. And, you know, look, bottom line is we have corporations that do collect data all the time. As we all know, data is big business. Bottom line is, you can go to, the grocery store is collecting data. That's why they started all those membership clubs, right? That way they know what you're buying and, you know.
Unless you don't join, which we don't.
Well, what I did is I just gave them false information. You know, my grocery store thinks I'm a 70-year-old female, and
unless you use your credit card.
I guess you're right. I mean, I guess if I'm using my credit card, which I do quite often, they probably have different data. But anyway, so bottom line is, I want to, for those who are interested, I want to give this information out one more time here. Let's see. The book, Big Brother in the Exam Room, The Dangerous Truth About Electronic Health Records. And that website, once again, is what?
BigBrotherInTheExamRoom.com.
BigBrotherInTheExamRoom.com. And the place for those of us who want to get involved and help Congress do the right thing, you can go to cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org, and then go to, from there, you want to just scroll down on the left side. CCHF urges Americans to tell the feds that HIPAA hurts patients. You can click on that and go from there. And I'm going to put all that in the show notes so you can get involved. And it doesn't take very long to get involved, guys. This is important. You know, look, there's a lot of great things about the United States, without a doubt. But one of the things that makes the United States great is that we, as a citizenship, can take action. that we can change the courses, the course of politicians, of laws. So please go and get involved. It takes you just a few minutes. Let people know how you feel.
I know that the federal government is going to change this regulation. So this is an opportunity to impact their decision-making before they even write it. And they're very concerned about the people who are refusing to sign the HIPAA form and being denied access to care. So that's one of the things that we've talked with them about. And this is an opportunity for people to say, yeah, I just figured out that that form doesn't mean anything.
Nobody should be denied care. Since you brought it up, if as a consumer, can I refuse to sign the HIPAA form?
And if I refuse
to sign the HIPAA form, then what? Does that mean they can deny me services?
No. And as a matter of fact, there used to be a form, and the Obama administration took it off. But we have a copy of it on our site. And all you have to do is, on our homepage, just click the HIPAA site that's right there on the homepage on the right side. And you can find the form which says, even if people refuse, you still have to be treated. Even if you refuse, you still have to be treated, because the law only requires them to make a good faith effort to get you to sign the form. It doesn't require you to sign it. And this whole thing was meant to convince you that you have privacy when you have none. So everybody I ever talk to says signing that form means their information is between them and their doctor. And that includes 22 staffers in Congress who told me the same thing. And it doesn't. It's just meant to convince you you have privacy. When if you actually read it and the so-called Notice of Privacy Practices, you'll figure out that you have no privacy. But most people don't read. They just accept that word privacy and think it's true. And so now the federal government wants to know whether or not they should still hand out that form. And what we're going to tell them is, hand out a form that says HIPAA doesn't protect your privacy.
Right.
So people actually know, and don't have them, don't require them to sign anything. Just hand them a form that says HIPAA doesn't protect their privacy, so be careful what you say in the exam room.
Yeah. Well, okay, the information that says that you don't have to sign the HIPAA form is located at cchfreedom.org.
Right. On the homepage, we got an entire block there that's called, Truth About HIPAA or
Health
it's
Privacy
right on the
Alert.
Left side of the page.
HIPAA does not protect
privacy.
That's not
right.
Required
and that's
to sign
HIPAA
the HIPAA
page. Right. Just click on that and you can actually see, we have a screenshot of part of the federal form, and we put it in yellow. They still have to treat you, and then you can see what the form actually
says.
There it is.
Boop.
Yep.
There it is. All right. Great stuff. I love it. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's check out cchfreedom.org. A lot of great information there. Let's get involved. Let's change the way the government controls our data. And then if you want more information, please go to bigbrotherintheexamroom.org?
.com,
I'm sorry. Bigbrotherintheexamroom.com. This has been so eye-opening, so enlightening. It just goes to show you that we need organizations like cchfreedom.org. And we need advocates like yourself, Twyla, to help us, because we're overwhelmed. There's just so much information out there, and it's overwhelming. We just don't know what our rights are.
No, and you don't know what's happening to you.
And we don't know what's happening to us. So,
right.
All right. Well, listen, I want to thank you so much for stopping by. It's been an absolute pleasure. I want to wish you the best with your book, and I want to wish you and your team at cchfreedom.org the very best. And thank you so much for doing this. It's been an absolute blast having you on the show today.
Thanks so much, Bert.
You bet. Good stuff there from RN Twyla Braze, and she's also the president and co-founder of Citizens Council for Health Freedom. That's cchfreedom.org. Great information. This is the kind of stuff that can change how your data is handled. And so it's vitally important. I don't know about you, but I like knowing where my data is being used. So I thought HIPAA basically just gave information to my insurance company. It sounds now like it gives information to anybody who really wants it. So, you know, maybe you're not that concerned about it. But for those of us who are, go to cchfreedom.org, cchfreedom.org, get a bunch of information there. There's also a copy, a link there to bigbrotherinexamroom.com, where you can get Twyla's book. As always, my friends, let's share this episode with everybody we know. Let's help everybody understand what their rights are when it comes to HIPAA. Let's help everybody wrangle their data. And as always, my friends, thank you so much for stopping by. Remember, you were created to succeed.
Tune in Monday through Friday here on Money for Lunch. And check out our website at moneyforlunch.com.